God, we will sing of your praises. All our days we will sing and praise that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Father, today, with this Easter Sunday, we give thanks for Jesus. We thank you for sending your one and only Son as a ransom for us all to give up his life so we might live. We thank you today is Sunday, the day that Jesus rose again. He rose victorious, conquering sin and death. We this morning say thank you, God. Thank you for the sacrifice of love you gave for us. That name alone is the name by which man can be saved. Those who call on the mighty and powerful and beautiful name of Jesus shall be saved. And that name alone is worthy of our adoration and our praise. So we give it freely and we give it willingly today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, church family. Here we are, Easter Sunday morning. He is risen. And I can hear the echo in your heart or your voices saying, he is risen indeed. I pray that the beginning, week three of lockdown, that Easter would be an incredible reminder for us all of what we have truly gained through Christ's death on Friday and the incredible truth of Resurrection Sunday. That on Friday, Christ died for the sins of all of humankind, took our punishment upon himself. The iniquities of us all, according to Isaiah 53, were laid on him. He bore our burdens by dying a horrible, horrific death on the cross. But 3 days later, he rose again victorious. He defeated the grave. He overcame sin for you and for me, canceling the charge that sin had against us and ultimately purchasing the promise of eternity for us, that we too might conquer death through faith in Jesus Christ. Today, for us all as followers of Jesus, is a reminder that Jesus has done it all through his love for you and I. It's the reality that love, not hatred, love sent Jesus to the cross. God the Father sent Jesus to his death on the cross for you and for I, that we could know forgiveness from sin and freedom from its hold over our life. It was the heart of the Father and his love for his children that sent Jesus as a ransom and as a sacrifice for many. You know, as a part of prepare season, the last few weeks we've spoken on hope and faith. And I trust that those messages have been a blessing to you and they've been an encouragement to you. As I said last week, today is appropriate to finish the trio, hope, faith, and love, on love. Hope does the heavy lifting when it comes to our burdens. Faith gives us a firm footing. And today's is love wins. In other words, love has the final say. Love has determined the end of the story for you and I. Love has secured for us, through Jesus' death and resurrection, our eternity. And Jesus said when he took his final breath on the cross, it is finished. So God's great act of love, known through the truth of Easter, has won for you and for me the great victory. Love is not an attribute of God. Love describes who our God truly is. Last week we spoke about how our faith was not in outcomes, but our faith was in who God is. And as the Bible says, God is love. And the truth of Easter reveals the God of love. Through his willingness to sacrifice his own son on the cross, we see our God of love in action. 1 John 4:16 says this, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. As followers of Jesus, we know without doubt and rely on God's incredible love for us. Our hope is anchored to Jesus. Our faith is certain in who God is, and love binds it all together perfectly. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Hope and faith are actually reliant on our response to God. In other words, as we move toward God, we move towards Him, our faith and our hope begin to increase. But love, on the other hand, does not rely on us at all. God's love, and He loved us regardless of what we do or who we are. I'm not sure if I made that clear. God loves you and I. He loves you regardless of what you do or who you are. In fact, love is God moving toward us. In hope and faith, we move towards God and it increases, but love is God moving toward us. God sent Jesus into the world because of the mess of humankind, the mess that people's lives were in. Despite our inability to live our lives without sin, in the midst of humankind's faithlessness, He still sent Jesus. He did that because of His great love for us. Our lack of hope or our lack of faith does not diminish the impact of God's love for us. It only limits our revelation of God's great love. But because of God's great love for us, we have faith and we have hope. When I first came to church, I came in an incredibly broken state, and many of you know it. Many of you have heard my story many times over all the years. But you know, my personal story for me still remains some of the greatest revelation of God's grace and love and freedom that I have on offer. And you know, my father had never told me growing up that he loved me. I never heard the words, "I love you, son," or "I love you," come out of his mouth. I had no doubt in my life at all that my mother loved me. But the lack of love of a father had left a major, what I call a major hole of rejection in my life. It was a hole that I had tried to fill or fix with many other things. I tried all kinds of things to try and fix the mess and to try and fix the brokenness of my life. And I'd felt that there was obviously something wrong with me because I mustn't be lovable if my father can't love me. My mindset was I mustn't be lovable. And so I'd come to church with so much pain. I'd come to church with this deep feeling of worthlessness. And I wanted to really end my life. And in the sense of wanting to end my life, I was wanting to end my pain. My motivation for coming to church actually was not to find freedom from my pain in that moment, but was because there was a pretty girl named Angela at the church. And in my heart, I thought maybe this pretty girl might be another avenue to fix the pain in my life. You know, over a period of time of being welcomed to church and accepted, even with all of my mess and brokenness, I encountered the love of God. I could tangibly feel God's love. Something had shifted in my heart. A light came on. A truth had been birthed that God was real and He loved me, and it began to spring up in my life. I realized that God was real and God had a plan for my life, and He has thoughts toward me. If I were to count them, outnumber the grains of sand on the earth. And this revelation of God's love had touched my heart, and something in me had come alive for the very first time. God's love had opened the vault of my heart. I had closed it to everybody and everything, but God's love managed to open the vault of my heart, and I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And even this Easter, I'm reminded of that was the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. Still to this day, following Christ and giving my life to Him still remains the single greatest decision I've ever made. And I know many of you are listening to me today, are testifying to that. You've got an amen in your heart. The greatest decision you ever made was to give your life over to Jesus. I remember in that moment saying to God, "You can have my whole life. God, take my whole life. It's yours." Such was the impact of what Jesus had done for me on my life. Then my hope and my faith began to grow. But it was love that won the victory, literally over the death that had been surrounding my life. Love mended the hole in my life that rejection had left. Now, every now and again, if I'm to be truthful with you all, there are little holes of rejection that begin to appear. And it's God's love that does the patchwork in my life over and over again. I keep coming back to scripture, coming back to thankfulness, coming back to worship, where I'm reminded of the deep love God has for me. So when rejection begins to appear again in my life, I come back to who God is. He's the God of love, and love begins to set about repatching and repairing my life over again. It was God's love that had won my life. Because of the love of the Father sending the Son as a sacrifice, the result is we now have direct access to God. If there's one great truth that you can get out of today, this Easter Sunday, is that when Jesus went to the cross, he purchased for us direct access to God the Father. He paid the price, made the way that we could have this intimate relationship with God, uninterrupted access to the Father's heart, to the Bible says, to the throne of grace and mercy, to God's place where we could connect directly with him. That means we have access to mercy. And the Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. Are we not pleased for new mercies every day at the moment in this current season that we're in? God's mercies are new for you every single day. We have access to peace. When there are storms in our life, when the storms of life blow and things are challenging and we're in the midst of the storm, we have access to peace. He gives us grace for every season, regardless of what we face. God gives us all grace to face the current season that we're in right now. You and I have access to grace for the season we find ourselves in. You know, I was asked once, how do you survive leading through a crisis? My simple answer is God's grace. God can grace us to not only survive in a crisis, but in actual fact, to thrive. We can ask God for his grace because we've been given access to the God of all grace. You can, in this season, when it's difficult, be reminded of what Easter means. You have access to the God of all grace. You can ask God for grace in this season. We have access to supernatural strength. Where life requires more effort from us, we have supernatural strength given to us by God. In our own strength, we might possibly burn out, but access to the God of love gives us the strength that we truly need. You know, for those of you who are followers of Jesus and you find yourself on the front lines in the midst of this COVID-19 response, maybe you're a nurse or a doctor, or actually maybe you're a supermarket worker and it's essential that you go to work, and there'll be many other roles that are essential services and you find yourself on the front line. Let me encourage you, God is able to give you the strength you need and the grace required to keep turning up day in and day out and be an incredible blessing to others. You have direct access to God who can grace you, God who can give you mercy, and God who can give you the strength you need to get on every day and bless people. Because of the Father's great love for us, discovered in Christ and at work through the Holy Spirit, we actually have everything we need. That's why I can say with confidence, love wins. We see this great prayer in the book of Ephesians, a book in the Bible written by Paul the Apostle, who wrote so much of the New Testament. He writes this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Paul's prayer is based on his revelation of what we now have been given access to from the Father through the Son. He prays that out of God's glorious riches, in other words, God's provision of all that we need as children of God here on the earth, he may strengthen us all with power through the Spirit in your inner being. God loves you so much. He loves you so much because of his great love for you. There is access to all that you need, and it's deposited into your life through the Holy Spirit. You can make it. You will make it. This season will not be the end of you. You have been given access to the loving Father who has everything you need for this season. And because the Spirit dwells in you, Christ also dwells in your heart. Therefore, hope and faith are front and center. Hope is front and center. Faith is evident in and through your life. Your burdens are lifted by hope. Your life is steady through faith, all held together in perfect love. I don't know what your needs are. You know, if you're listening to me this Easter Sunday morning, or maybe you're listening to this at another time, God knows your every need. God knows what it is you need deposited in your life for the season that we're in. And Jesus' death and resurrection means that for those who have accepted Jesus into their lives as their personal Lord and Savior, you have direct access to all that you need in God. Paul goes on, I pray that together with all God's people, that's all of us included in this prayer, that we would all God's people, be able to grasp how wide and long and high is the and deep is the love of Christ. This Easter again, as you pray, as you worship, as you read the word, and as you give thanks. In other words, as you lean in to your spiritual disciplines that feed your spirit and feed your soul, I pray that the Spirit of God would help you to grasp just how much you are truly loved. I want to finish my message with a hymn that has a powerful story attached to it. The hymn is entitled, He Giveth More Grace. It's a hymn you'll find in an old Salvation Army songbook. It was written by a woman named Annie Flint, who was born in 1866. She was orphaned at the age of 6 years old, and then she was adopted into a Baptist family, a family with faith. And she was at a revival meeting at the age of eight when the Holy Spirit touched her heart and she found faith in who Christ was. As Annie began to grow up, she was a positive person, and her faith had had an impact on the way she saw life. So she always chose to look on the bright side of life. Her faith was what gave her that disposition. Many of you listening to me today have that same kind of faith. It's why you have a positive outlook on life where others maybe don't. It's because of the faith you have in who God is, and it's the faith you have in Christ. And that was Annie as well. And Annie had trained to be a teacher for 2 years. And 2 years into her teaching, she was struck with an early onset of debilitating arthritis. The arthritis got so bad, eventually it became incredibly difficult for Annie to even walk anymore. Some of her dreams were gone forever. Annie had a dream to be a concert pianist, but because of the arthritis, she wasn't even able to play the piano even for her own enjoyment. And then a tragedy struck. Her adoptive parents both died only months apart from each other. She found herself orphaned for a second time in her life. With not much money and having been through this devastation of losing her adoptive parents, finding out about arthritis and journeying that, she found out from her doctors that she would be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of her life. She was now facing an incredible battle on her own, except she wasn't on her own. She had hope in Christ, faith in who God was, that he was a loving God. See, it would have been easy to say life had been unfair for Annie. You would look at her life and her external circumstances and you would say it was unfair. It is unfair, but Annie had hope and faith in an incredibly loving God. Because of that, Annie took the view that because of what she had walked through, she could write poems and she could write hymns with true understanding, an understanding that could be a blessing to others, that her writings from suffering could bring comfort to thousands of others who also faced and walked through difficulty. You know, Annie, she did not waste her pain with disappointment. She used her pain by giving expression to her faith in Christ through song and songwriting and poetry. The verses she wrote gave her comfort during her long suffering, and she recognized how much comfort those words could bring to others. Annie never faltered in her faith in who God was. She found hope in the truths of Scripture that lifted her burdens and allowed her to express her faith. You know, let's have a listen to Annie's hymn. As we do that, although it's an old hymn, the truths in it are forever. And I pray it would bless you today, and that in this season we're all facing right now, this hymn would bring you comfort. This hymn would lift your soul. This hymn would remind you again of all that we have access to in God through Jesus Christ. Let it be a great blessing to you.